So New Year's resolutions, and what was yours this year?
I didn't have any. I don't really do those. Do you?
Well, I've had a standard one every year for a while now, and it's quite simple. It's to embody, to live, and to co-create heaven on earth. So I figure that covers everything, you know? It's wide enough. It'll give me something to do no matter what, you know?
Right. That covers most of your bases, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. So, yeah, I think one intention, it doesn't cover it. So it's more visionary. And yeah, I feel frequency we're bringing through. So I think that's more the intention for so many of us.
I would say if I had to pick something, it would be holding the space, you know, because it's easy to lose sight of that. And my biggest challenge is getting distracted, working, blah, blah, blah. Life goes on. And then remembering, hold that space. Don't embrace fear, because now things are manifesting more than ever. And we need to hold that light, hold that space. So right now I've got a big box of space that I'm holding on to right here.
Well, see, that's the way you co-create heaven on earth. You hold that space.
Hold that space.
And that's really cool.
Yes, it is.
Speaking of holding space for co-creating heaven on earth, we have a wonderful woman here today, which I've told you a bit about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Carol. And Carol is... she's a conscious channel, and I met her when I was at a Soul Support Systems event at Virginia Beach last October, I think it was. And it was interesting because I wasn't going to go to this event, and Flo kept trying to get me to go, and I was like, no, no, no. And I looked at Carol's name, and it was like, I got to go. I got to go. And then Flo said, will you come? And I was like, yeah, I'll come. So I could feel her before I met her, and she's an amazing, amazing light, and I'm really happy that she has agreed to come on and be our very special guest today. So, Carol, I'd like to welcome you on the show. We're so happy to have you here.
Thank you so much. I really do appreciate the invitation to share.
Well, I know from experience when I met you, you sure have a lot to share. You have so much that you're doing, and I feel like it's a really exciting time to maybe share with our listeners and TJ. You and TJ met today too, right?
Yes, sure did.
I thought you might want to share what you're up to and how you got started. How did you discover your purpose, Carol?
Well, I actually just basically got hit over the head with a deep, push of fear. And I was just living a very, what I considered the normal standard diet of work hard, get ahead, raise a family. And it was so obvious to me, looking back, how incredibly unhappy and out of control I was, because I had so completely denied my intuition. I really was had become very practiced at a survival skill of overriding my heart, my intuition, and doing what I felt I should be doing based upon the rest of the world around me. And so my life suddenly came to a screeching halt, where I just absolutely could not go on any longer. And all of my mental apparatus to try to get myself out of a really bad fix, just stopped working. And so I either had to give my life over to some invisible force and ask for help to find a different way. And so my prayer, which I've since heard from so many different people, we all kind of have the same kind of bargaining prayer at first when we first awaken. And it's basically saying, please, God, if you show me who you are and show me the way, And in my version of this prayer, I said, I will follow my inner guidance to the letter, but it's got to be literal. And so literally within a day or so, my life started to unravel and spirit guides started showing up and ascended masters started showing up. And that was a huge, I'm going to say, shock to my system, because I was still very much in the fear vibration, while at the same time, one foot in front of another started leading me down a very, very different path. And because the guidance was showing up so literal, physically beings showing up and my inner sight opening up so that I could see, sense, hear, feel, there was no mistaking. And so because at the time I was honor-bound to follow the guidance, and because my life was so not working, I thought, well, okay, here we go. And so eventually that love vibration won out over the fear vibration, and I began to recognize, oh, if I truly just follow this feeling, this knowing. And of course, it wasn't a logical thing that happened. It was a very powerful, overwhelming, cathartic feeling and knowing of coming home that had that kind of divine imprinting happen all over again. And that was back in 1988, 1989. And it took me about another 10 to 12 years of denying but listening, and trying to rebuild my life and working to rebuild my life all the while to say, okay, what is this? At some point, a friend of mine had said to me, you know, let's continue to honor the guidance that you've been given. I had asked a friend of mine to hold sacred space for me so that these energetic teachers could come as I had been guided, to allow them to come. And at some point I said, none of that makes sense. I just want to get back to my life. And so once I moved back down, I had been living in Fredericksburg. I moved up to the Washington, D.C. for about 8 years to work, get back in the flow of a different kind of life. And then once I moved back here, everything opened back up and just the whole field opened. And suddenly I was no longer in that split, got to work hard to make a living, and while also honoring this inner guidance, suddenly it was all inner guidance, and suddenly my path and my purpose came together. So I totally understand when people feel that sense of division within themselves, mm-hmm. about the world pulls them, and we all do. The world pulls us in one direction, but the inner guidance is trying to show us a different way. And it's which mm-hmm. of those two voices are you going to listen to? So my work has evolved to the foundation of the work is really to help people to solidify their awareness of their inner voice, and to be very clear and purposeful that there's a reason why we each have an inner voice, and it has meaning and purpose, and if we listen to it, it never steers us wrong, and that's certainly what I've learned in my own life.
That's an amazing story. Are you writing a book?
You know, I wrote a book in 19... I started writing it in 1999 when I first moved back down to Fredericksburg. And, of course, it's one of those things where Spirit says, write. I started, everybody I would meet, they'd say, what's the name of your book? What's the name of your book? And that was mm-hmm. 2 years before I sat down and actually wrote a book. And the first book was that very... I think it was the difference between me trying to find my internal voice and the voice that flowed through me. Because as you know, Joy, there's this other other voice, there's this other energy, this really intense energy, and sometimes the beings or the guides that would flow through me, sometimes they would sound like there was an old Irish woman, and sometimes it sounds like an Indian person, I hear. So during that time, it was very challenging for me to figure out what is actually happening here. What voice, right? So there's the internal voice, the intuitive voice. There's the mind voice, what I call the human nature, the human consciousness part of ourselves. And then we are multidimensional beings of light. So we have the capacity to not only communicate and to know everything, but we also have a way that we can allow consciousness to flow through us as well. So it gets kind of tricky. So the first book that I wrote, which is called Fear Not, My Child, is a combination of that part of myself that was so divided and so split and so fearful. And it was kind of the conversation or the guidance that I was being gifted with at the time on how to move through that and how to make peace with those fear vibrations.
Wow. I love the title. Just the title makes you feel calm. So is that book still out there?
Yeah, it's on Amazon, and people can order it from my website. And that first book was self-published.
Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
The first book was self-published. And like I said, and I've met so many people since that time where when Spirit says write or Spirit says go, you don't really know how to translate that because the mind wants to make it into something that it's not. So I just sat down and wrote, and I have a publishing design background, so I pretty much knew the process, and the guidance that I received was that the first book was to be self-published, and so that's what I did. And so that's kind of the deal there.
Okay, and that's the first book, and what's the next book?
Well, the next time I was called to write, I had been doing my work for, by that time, about 5 or 6 years, and there were two things that I was told. One was to go to India, which I did, which was another sort of confusing message, and the second thing I was told was to sit down and write the story of the global reharmonization of consciousness, the flow of consciousness that was occurring. So the second book is, the title is A Call to Remember, Follow Your Heart, Change the World. So it's the story of the individuals. By that time, I had spoken to, just literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. And it was just such a flow. Sometimes I would speak to 8 to 10 people a day, just going into a little back room of a store or something, and person after person would come in. I would be in kind of a deep trance state, having absolutely no real awareness of what was happening. But then after a few years of this, I was shown, call the light workers, the world servers together, which I did, and they gave me the name Living the Miracle. And it was, I will never forget, it was in January, and I just put a simple call out there, and my living room became packed with people saying, and they were all laughing, saying, we were waiting for you to call us forward. And from there, I thought I was simply to be a help and support and perhaps maybe, a safe haven is what I heard. But what actually happened from there is these intergalactic teachers, divine masters, angelic beings started showing up month after month after month and working with us. And what they said was, if you can, as a collective consciousness, raise your vibration to a certain level we can come close enough to the earth and plane of consciousness, and we can work with you. That's been their message all along. And so month after month after month, they would guide us. I was the conduit, but they actually were the guides. And they guided us to imagine the world as it could be. They told us that all the new technologies are embedded from deep within us, that we are star beings, we are light beings from other galaxies of light, and we've come here for an express purpose, which was to activate global consciousness. And so, again, meeting after meeting after meeting, this kind of really intergalactic global mission started unfolding, and it was just actually mind-boggling until one summer. It was in the summer of 2009. By that time, I had been guided to put together a global network for people who were ready to do their work, with the idea that we would all work together in oneness, supporting each other. And so I had a friend who was beginning to work with inventors and connect inventors to investors. And he had said there was going to be a certain amount of proceeds from these inventions gifted to humanitarian efforts. And I asked, could our global network be considered for that? And she said, well, of course. And as I do with everything, she said, what would your project be? And how much money are you looking for? And I got quiet. And rather than the global network, what popped out was a global light center. And she said, and how many global light centers? And what popped out from there was 32. There are to be 32 global light centers. And I don't know what happened, but on some real level, I was suddenly connected with this huge stream of consciousness. And I called the team of people together that I had been working with and told them what had happened. And suddenly we all just went into high gear. There were about 50 of us in our circle by that time that, you know, who had been working with these energies. And we were in the middle of proposal writing, and it was midnight, and the other writer and myself, she had written a part, and I had written a part, and everybody else had written their parts, and we were putting together a strategy. And we were sort of at odds, and I could feel that we were at odds. And we both said just about at the same time, wait a minute, let's stop and drop into the stillness like we know to do. And so when I did that, she had the good foresight to push the record button on her little iPhone as I received this transmission. And I was told, we were told and shown why exactly we had been led, that we had been called together as a community of world servers to do this work. And they talked about the rotational spin of the earth going into a wobble effect, and that the atmosphere of the earth was going to drastically thin, that there would be tremendous dropping away through autoimmune diseases and so on and so forth, and that we were to anchor light in these specific locations, 32 in all, to create a safe haven for some, to some locations would be served for the purpose for downloading light, star technology. Others would be serving as a portal to be receiving infusions of light. But that all these locations would be working together in oneness. And that was the purpose of the global network, of the work that they had done with us, that we were all to trust in the heart of who we are and to begin to move about the world as we were guided. And so we've been working that global project actually ever since, which is what brought me to work with your group down in Virginia Beach,
mm-hmm.
to really help individuals in groups in the context of anchoring light in communities to get it very, very clear in their purpose and to receive information, the frequency downloads, through the heart of who we are. So I'm aware that there are codes within us that are already there. They've been there. Some are dormant. And there's a time, the guides have said, there's a time, date, sequencing of events unfolding, and everything happens within that sequencing. And it's all frequency activated. So we will know where we are to be based upon the feeling and the knowing that's within us. So the work that we do, that I do individually and that I do with my husband, because music is such, as you know, such a huge wave carrier.
Mm-hmm.
It's beyond words. You know, the rhythm and cadence of words is one thing, but there's an encoding that can be transferred through music that is so universal. People don't get caught up in the dogma when they hear the music. And
that's true.
Yeah,
it all
so
is,
it's really,
by the way, yeah.
Yeah. So we've been just recently, I received a huge gift of knowledge in the use of crystal technology. We've been seeing visions of these interstellar chambers in a biospheric kind of configuration. We now know that the biospheric configurations over entire regions are built through the intention, pure intention that are formed. It forms a harmonic, and we now know that sound frequency is a vibration, and it actually has a waveform that can be measured, can be felt. And so we've shown these global light centers are very clearly biospheric domes. And I met a scientist down in Florida not long ago, and he drew out what the frequency of 532 and 434 and 888 actually look like, mapping it out. When I saw that, I said, oh, my gosh, there's the biosphere. I always thought maybe they would be physical structures, but they're not. They're formed by group consciousness. And when individuals are consciously aware of upholding that biospheric field, well, that's just incredibly powerful.
Yeah, you know, as you're talking, there's so much that comes, but this biosphere, it's interesting. I had this memory of Atlantis, where there would be these marriage crystals that people would walk into, and a frequency would go off when the souls were unified in intent. And that's how you knew the person you were marrying, through sound, vibration, and in this chamber. And it's interesting because it seems like that part of the new knowledge is linked to the ancient knowledge that has been kept from us. That's what I'm feeling. Does that make sense?
Yes. Well, it does. And we have actually kept that knowledge from ourselves.
Yes.
We have fractionalized out. So what's happening now is we're finding one another. You found me. I found you.
Yeah.
You're finding
Yay.
Other people, right?
And you found TJ.
That's right.
And now TJ, yes.
I'm right over here. I'm still here.
You kidding? We know. I was going to ask if you had a question, because by now I'm sure he has 20.
Yeah, and usually what we do is, because of the way that this works, is that if I jump in, it's going to cut things off. So I do sit back and I'm taking notes and I'm looking at your website. I really love your website, by the way. Your husband, you guys really have an awesome site. And I like that you have a lot of things that people can go and look at and learn from. You're sharing a lot of knowledge with them. But I wanted to ask you, you talked about interaction with angelic beings. You talked about interaction with the enlightened masters or the ascended masters, galactic beings. Do you have a specific group that you like? Sometimes people will say they're working with the Pleiadians or the Sirians. Or is there a specific group that you work with?
Well, that's, I think that's such a great question, because I don't have a specific group that I work with. I would say that I feel most comfortable working through the prism, I'm going to say, or the energy field of the Elohim, the archangels. The ascended masters get into some of their personality matrices, and then when that comes through, there's universal teachings, and I certainly feel comfortable and all of that. But right now, the energies or the star nations that I'm working with are the Arcturians, Ocasio, the Pleiadian star systems, and beings that come from Sirius A and Sirius B. I was told back in November of 2012 that the Oversoul Council for Humanity had shifted. It shifted from strictly being comprised of the Pleiadian star system and the star beings from Sirius A and B, to now include beings from Arcturia. And Ocasio's always been in there as a foundational frequency. And in very simplistic terms, the Pleiadian star beings really represent a very strong vibration of peace. And yet Sirius A, Sirius B is aligned very much with truth. And so sometimes beings that show up from Sirius A and Sirius B are not necessarily warm and fuzzy kind of beings, but boy, do they parse through. Mm-hmm. And if ever you're going to be aligned with truth, that group of beings are going to get you there. Whereas Ocasio, in an archetypal way, the mother of Jeshua or Jesus hailed from Ocasio, which is deeply, deeply into compassion, probably the closest realm of light that really has that well of compassion, that the same, very similar to what humanity, the human nature has going on. Whereas Jesus was from the Pleiades, he was the Prince of Peace. And so the different roles that are played when beings come and act as an oversoul or infuse soul-level consciousness into human nature, you can feel where those frequencies are coming from. And you can align, and you can follow those patterns, follow those streams of consciousness to wherever they go, back to their source. So I would say I'm not aligned with, aligned as a conscious channel or otherwise with one star race over another. What I would say is I'm a multidimensional being of light, and I have a capacity to go into these different realms. I can physically travel to those different realms in my light body. And I can be there with them, or I could be embodied, which in 2005 I was told that if I didn't decide to be embodied, as in get into my body, that I was going to have to leave the planet.
Wow.
And it was an either-or choice at that point. And so it was a really tough choice, because I personally have had a very strong distaste for being embedded in human consciousness. I was concerned that I was going to get trapped in human consciousness, but I was assured that I would not. And so it was a very sobering couple of years to become more integrated into human consciousness. And But I feel okay about it, but I still can come and go at will, which I do.
Can I ask you also, Carol, because there's a lot of people that are having not just the interaction, whether it's through we're traveling at, through light and interacting with these beings, but also are there beings of the ones that you mentioned that are physically interacting with this planet as well?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, especially for those individuals, so if whoever you are that when you are listening to this broadcast, if you are experiencing disturbance, mental, physical, emotional, or spiritual disturbance, the reason why you need to get very clear and aware of who you are as opposed to who you are not, all oneness of being aside, you need to be very clear that you have a unique purpose for being here. And you're the one that's to be embodied, no one else. So the answer to that is absolutely. There are many, many star beings that various levels of beings, levels of consciousness. And I have to say there's lots and lots of beings that want to be embodied, but that's not their time around. But if people leave themselves open and vulnerable, they will get a rider. They will have beings crowd into them, and they start feeling very confused. Our mental health mm-hmm. institutions are full of people like this. They're not crazy. There's nothing wrong with their mm-hmm. brains, but there are more beings in their field than just them.
You know, Carol, speaking as somebody who lived through that like 30 years ago, it's interesting because, you know, it is so true. And I've been to mental hospitals where I've worked with some of these people, too. And what I've discovered, a piece of that, too, is part of grounding the consciousness that they carry. They don't know how to root it here. But once that happens, it's like any diagnosis they were given would disappear. And there's ways that can be done, even through drumming and rhythm, things like that, certain tones, the raw sound, the really deep sounds, and that kind of thing. But it's very interesting because I think, and now I have an influx of clients that have come in that have been dealing with that, and it goes back to the, you know, being present with the consciousness that you carry. I just wanted to say that for any listeners out there that may sometimes question what's going on like that, because I think what you brought up was really an important piece that's happening right now. Absolutely. I have a question.
Yes.
And I think you might have an answer. I have a feeling. you know the Arcturians? You know how you described about the Pleiades and the Sirians? Could you talk a little about the Arcturians, too, for our listeners?
Yes, yes. Well, beings from the Arcturian star nation are, first of all, they're absolutely brilliant. They carry deep wisdom and knowledge. They're like firecrackers. They spark. They're very inspiring. And mm-hmm. they carry codes within them a lot of them serve as connectors. They also have the capacity mm-hmm. to spontaneous heal within themselves. And oftentimes mm-hmm. they are healers, but they're not necessarily meant to be healers for more individual one-on-one as much as they're mass healers. They're working very much on a global scale. So in other words, they're mm-hmm. holding codes of light that spark knowledge and information and awakening for many, many people across the planet.
Okay. That's wonderful to hear because you hear the name a lot, but, you know, there isn't a whole lot of info, and I think what you just described, I think there's quite a few people I've met that are Arcturian, so they'll be excited to hear that, too. I also had a question about if people come in as multidimensional. And let's say if they carry more than one stream, they're carrying Pleiades and a few different ones, where would the essence of these particular souls like yourself, you know, be from?
The essence, you mean the essence in the body, in the embodied state, be from?
No, what I mean is, you know how there's certain souls from Arcturus, certain souls from Pleiades? Well, the souls that are conduits for all that energy, okay, conscious channels or multidimensional beings, where would these be from? Would they be fragmented from these different places, all of them? Or would there be generally one primary location, and yet they're able to hold that? How would that work? Does that make sense?
I'll answer the question in a couple of different ways. First of all, everybody on the planet that is a star being, you know, you can be on the planet and not be a star being. You can strictly be having a very human nature experience. Those of us who are star beings, the image, and I'll share it this way, that's coming through, it's like when you create gravy and you look at that, or oil and water, and you look at a certain kind of consistency, you can actually see when you shake it up, it's all together, and when you just let it sit, the two substances will separate. So our consciousness is like that too. We toggle back and forth between being in our human nature and being in that higher state of awareness. And so in terms of where we're from, we know where we're from based upon that higher state of consciousness, because we know how we feel, and we also know the codes that we're bringing in. And a Pleiadian star being doesn't behave in the same way, doesn't look the same way. If you are aware, you'll also begin to notice physical characteristics, personality characteristics of individuals from different star races. Meet a Pleiadian star being, and you'll see a very specific kind of feeling about them and the way of being in the world. And where are these? They're everywhere. They're absolutely everywhere. We are spread geographically all over the world. And most of us, many of us, are positioned in our earlier frame of reference in life. It depends upon your age, but many of us came in under very dense, toxic kind of frequencies, but for the express purpose of lightening the load. We've been guided, though, to lighten the load differently. We're not to be embedded. We're not to undergirth lower frequency anymore. We're to like the rising of the gravy to the top. We're to rise above now and be very clear that we're safe to do that. We're supported to do that. The world is ready for our voice now. It's ready for us. And so the individuals that are positioned all over the world that have these combinations of frequencies in them, you know, if you're a listener and you're listening to this now, you can listen to the rhythm and cadence of Joy's voice and my voice. And you can feel the stream of consciousness that's coming through, and it's basically, you can feel where you are to be because you lighten up, you recognize, the heart starts to open, you feel less contracted. That's the beginning for you to know who you are, and you have permission now to open up, to open your heart, and to trust the knowing that does guide you.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now, I know that I want to thank you first for answering that question. And I also want to thank you for hanging in there and working through all that stuff, Carol. I know it's been a bumpy ride, and look at where you are now. And then we have our Tejas over here. Tejas, do you have a question for Carol?
Well, I have a lot of questions, and I only know that we have so much time, but this is really fascinating. And I really like the fact, Carol, that you explained a little more detail about some of the different galactic beings, because you know that you hear a lot about all these different ones interacting. But you have these 32 light centers that are located all across the world. Are they located on specific grids? I mean, are they energy points where you locate these places?
Yes. And I have to say that it is a great puzzle for us. And the reason for that is, remember how I was saying that the guides told us earlier that everything has a time and date stamp, which is frequency activated? Mm-hmm. It's activated by a particular frequency. So, for instance, when we anchored all 32 global light centers into form as a matrix, that happened in the fall of 2009. Mm-hmm. And I called forth individuals as I was guided, and we went through a physical formation, putting human energy systems into particular geographic locations. At that time, we were given just a few of the regions or the areas, and from there we were guided to go move about the country, actually move about the world, and activate particular interdimensional grid points. And we were shown piece by piece by piece by piece where these specific locations are to be. And the beautiful thing that I've discovered, and it's been a great mystery to me, because our mind wants to say it's at this specific location on this specific piece of land and so forth. But what I've discovered is that these are heart-to-heart connections that we make with individuals, first of all. And the guides have said no one person has the whole grid system within them. Going back to your comment, Joy, about the time of being in Atlantis and mm-hmm. how, you know, again, our consciousness was fragmented from that time. This time mm-hmm. what we've said is we're basically not going to screw it up. We're going mm-hmm. to do this in a right-aligned way. And the only mm-hmm. way that we can do this is enter through the inner doorway of the heart. And if we mm-hmm. go through the doorway of the heart, I will find you there waiting for me, and you mm-hmm. will find me there waiting for you. So each of these locations are discovered and anchored through these very deep soul-level heart-to-heart connections. So very recently, last weekend, as a matter of fact, actually, it was on New Year's Day, mm-hmm. we set up our very first crystal grid formation the way that the guides have shown us, and they gifted us with two individuals in our midst and was told that the next 11 locations would be shown to us through the angelic realms, the archangel realm, from the archangels. And I thought, wow, this is like pure magic here, because there again, it's all heart-to-heart connection. It's all energy systems coming together, souls coming together, and recognizing one another. And the guides have said that the simplest thing that they can work with us is to through geography, the souls, the energy systems, and then a time, date, sequencing of events. And so that's what we're doing now, is we're moving forward on these. So we have four locations that have been identified, and we are working. We've done activations in those particular regions. We have identified individuals who are moving to anchor, serve as anchors. We work in trinities where three people serve as a trinity to anchor the light, and then we begin that way. And we're constantly practicing how to stay connected, how to stay aligned, how to hold our center, how to uphold this frequency. And we know that when we drop below the bandwidth of the frequency, we lose our connection. We lose our ability to listen clearly and to hear clearly. if we keep our mind open and soft and our heart clear as and practice through purity of heart, then we receive where we are to be and how we're to move about the world. So that's how those locations are formed and discovered and anchored. And right now we're getting ready to anchor the four locations, and we're preparing ourselves to discover the next 11.
And is that all?
Beautiful.
Is that all there's going to be is 32? Do you think that will expand beyond that?
Well, what we were told was, as long as we get to the first 17 and discover those, anchor those by the year of 2020, then this whole wobble effect, and we get everyone working in harmony, then whatever this physical shift that the Earth is going to be going through, the Earth grid of consciousness that we represent as a collective will be clearly balanced and stabilized and able to withstand the shift points that are coming. And so that's all that I know right now, but I definitely know in one sense that the purpose of the 32 has a very specific purpose in mind, but it also spawns, there's so many other communities, groups that are anchoring light in the form of community. And yet, mm-hmm. what I've discovered, their purpose is not the same as our purpose. And it's by design, actually. There's such an enormously magical, incredible matrix of light, of consciousness that's being formed on many, many different levels. So the role that I have is not the same that you have, which is not the same that you have, and on like that. It's very individually oriented, and yet at the same time, we all just do our part to show up, and what we find is that there are others around us that are complementing who we are and what we are. And so the micro part of this whole formation of these centers is just as important and is the foundational part for the macro blossoming of what we're doing here.
Sure. So each holder is actually a person who is part of a hologram. It's like each piece plays a part in this universal hologram. Isn't that what you're saying, basically?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Just following you here. And I know we're short on time, but I just have a couple more questions that I want to run by you, if that's okay. All right?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Okay. Now, you follow your path so beautifully, and you have such joy and in doing it, and your commitment is inspiring. So I wonder if you would just share what our listeners could do to bring more love and more joy into their lives and people in general. What is it that does that for you, that gives you that strong foundation?
Well, the very first thing that I would recommend that anyone do for that very purpose of bringing more joy into your life, and this is not the kind of joy that is today but is not tomorrow. There's an underlying intrinsic feeling of belonging, actually, and it's the feeling of home that's always in your body. And so the one thing that you as a listener can do is at any given moment, especially when you first wake up in the morning, is do a check-in with your heart and set your intention that I'm going to honor my heart today. And what I would say to that is when you are faced with any decision, that you simply put your hand over your heart until you become practiced at it and tune back into your body and ask your body's consciousness, am I feeling expanded in this or am I feeling contracted? And so no matter what's happening in your world, no matter what someone has said to you, no matter what person you're facing, no matter what opportunity is there for you, you always check it up against the feeling of contraction or expansion. Mm-hmm. And when, if you have been living a very contracted existence or very conflicted, at first this is going to be very challenging. It's going to be very scary because change is scary. But if you, the very first time you say, wow, this feels expansive to me, I'm going to take, and all you've got to do actually is take the most immediate next step. And the most immediate next step is actually oftentimes just simply an acknowledgement that you feel what you feel. And then the next step after that is you're going to say something or do something that's going to either affirm the expansion, the feeling of expansion, or deny. Now, if you're practiced at denying, this is going to be tough. It's going to be very scary, but just like I said, as soon as you step out in some way and honor your heart, then what will happen is you'll start to build a trust and actually a communication link with your high self. And you have incredible beings of light around you that are cheering you on. And when they can see that they've got a connection with you because you're starting to honor your heart, then your guidance, your inner guidance, just gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And lastly, the thing that I would recommend is when you do go against your intuition, don't beat yourself up. Just say, wow, I should not have done that. I can feel the contraction in my body. And when I first started really honoring my heart, I actually had to go back to people and say, you know, I told you yes, but really I should have said no because I could feel that I really, really should have said no, like no thank you. And so you have to be able to be courageous enough to correct yourself. You're not correcting anybody else. You're correcting yourself, and you're learning a new way to navigate in the world. So put that, just that one thing, into practice, and you'll be really surprised at how wonderful your life will begin to open up, and you'll feel so much better about everything.
Now, this is actually a technique people can use, too, if they feel they're out of the flow. This can help bring them back to their center, right?
Yes, it will become so obvious when you're out of the flow.
Yeah, this is really beautiful. Well, TJ, do you have anything you want to say before we close?
I just want to thank you, Carol, because I think it's awesome what I heard today from you, and I would like to hear more, and I hope, we continue to talk with you down the road, because, you know, we don't get to talk to too many galactic beings. I mean, we've had them on before, right, I think? But people that know that this is your first time here, is that correct, as a galactic being? Is that correct?
Yes, yes.
And there's a lot of you that are doing this right now, right?
Yes.
Okay. So it's cool. It's cool to talk to, you hear about it, so it's nice to talk to the source.
Well, thank you so much for listening and for being so open.
And Carol, on my end, it was an honor. It always is. And I love you dearly, and may the world always receive you warmly and graciously. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing all your wisdom, their wisdom. And, hopefully you'll come back on again. Would you like to?
Thank you so much. Oh, I'd love to. It'd be wonderful.
Oh, great, great. Now, for all our listeners out there, thank you for listening in. When the Carol's info is posted, there will be a link so you can just go and check out her website. And you might want to check into those books. I know I'm going to. And I also want to thank TJ for all your help. Always, you're the best, bro. And have a wonderful day, everyone. Sending much love and many blessings.